It's a joy also to welcome our internet audience to this service today and every service by the grace of God. We appreciate so much the giving of our church, which is designated to faith promise giving, to missions. Of course, we do understand and realize the church has operational expenses, and we try to meet those by giving of tithes and offerings. But when it comes to missions, we do it through faith promise. It's asking the Lord for a certain amount of money, and as God makes that amount available, we put it right into missions, and it is the way that we're able to have the internet ministry. It's a way that we're able to support missionaries on the foreign field. So if you're here today, and if you have your Bibles, I hope you do, I want you to turn to one verse of Scripture I've chosen for a text. The book of Proverbs, chapter 23, and verse 23. Proverbs 23, verse number 23. The Bible gives us an injunction here that we do well to follow. The Scripture says this, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not." I want to speak on the subject this morning for our consideration. Buy the truth. Buy the truth. The world we live in is controlled by buying and selling. And we're reminded of this every day of our lives. You go to the grocery store and you'll hear a still small voice saying, "Buy me. Buy me." Aisle after aisle, as you look on the counters and see the display of merchandise, they're crying out, "Buy me. Buy me." You go to the car lot, you'll also hear these words, "Buy me. I'm better than Chevrolet." "Buy me." Every car in its major brand crying out, "Buy me. Buy me." You go to the mall and the carters will echo the same message, "Buy me. Buy me." You go to the furniture store and every bed, mattress, and sofa will cry out, "Buy me. Buy me." The utility companies come through the post office saying, "Buy me. Buy me." The drug stores are not different. Every shelf speaks forth, "Buy me. Buy me. I have something for you. Buy me." Telemarketers drive you crazy. "Buy me. Buy me for the same price. Everything, $19.99. Buy me. Buy me." I've been to markets in Brazil, Peru, and Mexico, and it is no different there. Every language in the world says, "Buy me. Buy me." You cannot escape it. You cannot hide from it. And you cannot stop it. Every hour of every day, it is buy, buy, buy. Every purchase you make, you must leave something behind. Now listen to that statement again. Every purchase you make, you must leave something behind. There's something you must give up if you are to buy. I needed gas in my car this last week. I drove into a filling station, gas station, and I got a full tank of gas. And I felt so good about that. But as I drove off, I was $30 lighter. And I really did take great pride in having $30 in my pocket, 30 real dollars. And I was so glad it was there. But after the purchase, the money was gone. Every time you make a purchase, you have to leave something behind. The wisest man who ever lived gives us some profound advice in our text. Buy the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. And I'd like to make a threefold application of this text today. Number one, there is a commodity on the market. There is a commodity on the market, and that commodity is truth. Truth. Second of all, there is a cost to be met. Buy it. Buy it. And thirdly, there's a caution to be maintained. Don't sell it. Sell it not. There is a commodity on the market, and that commodity is truth. Little is known about this commodity. Not a whole lot of people know a whole lot about truth today. Good example of this is in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with verse 33. The 18th of John, verse 33. This has to do with the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was taken before Pontius Pilate. And the Bible says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, are you the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou of this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? What is your crime? Why have you been brought to me? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Then I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest, I am a king. To this end was I born, and from this cause came I into the world, that I should bring or bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? Can you imagine that? Truth personified was standing right in front of him. He could have reached out with his hand and touched truth and still did not recognize it and still did not know the answer to that very important question, what is truth? Little is known about this commodity. What is truth? It is fact. It is always fact and not fiction. It is absolute and it is not relative. Truth does not shift in its identification from certain clientele or from certain groups of people as to how they perceive it. Truth is absolute. It says what it means and it means what it says. It is not relative. It is not changeless. It is not something is true today, but it's no longer true. Truth stands. It's changeless and not variable. And truth is always based upon reality and not opinion. What you think about truth really is not all that important. It is what truth actually is that is the important factor. The ignorance of truth is so evident. The Lord Jesus had a conversation with a woman by the well in Samaria, and this is a part of that conversation in John chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. In that conversation, the woman said unto Christ, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And he makes a very classic statement here. You worship, you know not what. Whenever you worship and you don't know what you're worshiping or how to worshiping, it's called ignorant worship. Ignorant worship. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. A worship service that does not have truth in it is no worship service at all. Regardless of how it might make us feel and the response of the people toward that which is being spoken and toward that which is being sung, if it's not truth, it cannot be worship. Worship and truth go side by side. The ignorance of it is absolutely evident. You worship, you know not what. And then in Acts chapter 17, verse number 23, I want to read that verse and then enlarge a little bit by reading verses before it and after it. Paul said on one occasion when he was in Athens, Greece, For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. They were worshiping a God they did not know. They were ignorant of the truth of who this God was. Paul continues, Whom therefore you ignorantly worship. I wonder how much of our worship today in all of our churches would be classified as ignorant worship. We do not know who we're worshiping. We do not know how to worship him. And we don't even know who he is. Interesting. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter number 17. Beginning with verse number 16, had the privilege of visiting the country of Greece, had the privilege of visiting the city of Athens. My wife and I stayed in a multi-storied motel, and we were on about the fourth or the fifth floor, and every time you walked over to the window, you could look out and see the entire city of Athens. And it meant so much to me the first time I did that because the Bible says in the 16th verse of this 17th chapter of Acts, verse 16, Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. He saw the city was wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, he disputed in the synagogue. Notice verse 17, Paul argued religion with the Jews. Now they were a very religious people, but Paul said your religion is insufficient. It's not according to truth. And he argued with them about that. He disputed in the synagogue with the Jews, with devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Not only that, but he disputed and argued with the Epicureans and the Stoics. He argued philosophy with them. The scripture said then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, What will this babbler say? By the way, what was Paul babbling about? He was babbling about the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and all they got out of that was just some babble. Philosophy, they were very skilled in their philosophical approach. In their religion, they thought they had the only one. And then in verses 20 through 21, pardon me, verse 19, Paul argued politics with the intelligentsia of Mars Hill. In verse 19, they took him and brought him to Areopagus. Another name for that is Mars Hill. We had the privilege of visiting Mars Hill and climbing as far as we could climb at a certain point up to that place where Paul met with these people. And it says, and they took him and brought him into Areopagus, saying, may we know what new doctrine. It was new because they were ignorant about it. They were hearing something their ears had never heard before. Verse 20, thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean. For the Athenians were strangers, which were there, and they spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. They wanted to do but one thing, argue and discuss. What did you learn over the week? And what new truth do you have today? And they would propose their opinions and their ideas, and they talked. It was a daily meeting place for the political group of people about what they believed and why they believed it. And if somebody came along with something that sounded a little better, they would renounce what they believed in and begin to embrace that, because they didn't know truth. If you think they did not know truth, read verse number 23. Paul said, as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you. Truth. People have their own opinion, have their own ideas, and want to propound certain ideas to make people think how intelligent they are concerning certain subjects. And such was the case at Athens. The truth. We have a great deal of ignorance on truth and about truth today. Ask for views on the church, and you'll be surprised the many different answers you get. There's some people who believe that whenever you talk about the church, you're talking about brick and mortar and stone and windows and carpet and how beautiful a building is. Oh, that's the church. That's the church. Ask them about their views on the church, and some will tell you that we believe that everybody who's ever been saved is a part of the church. And on it goes. What's the truth? Are you even interested in knowing the answer to that question? What is truth? Ask anybody you want to about the views of hell. It's the most amazing thing. Hell is a figment of one's imagination. Oh, I believe the only hell there is a hell I have to go through with my wife. And on and on and on it goes. Ignorance. Ask for views on salvation. I believe you have to be baptized to be saved. No, it's not baptism that saves. What I believe you got to do is this, that, and the other. And on it goes. Ask for views on baptism. Well, I don't believe you're supposed to take somebody and dunk them. Little babies couldn't be baptized in, so we just sprinkle them instead. And people swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Buy the truth. And sell it not. Ask for views on Christ. There are those who believe that Christ was a great prophet. He was. There are those who believe that Christ was a great physician, and without a doubt he was. But Jesus Christ was God Almighty, immaculate, robed in flesh. He was the Son of God that liveth and abideth forever. Now, this ignorance that is so prevalent today is very deadly. We're faced with an epidemic of flu that many people are dying as a result of it. And it has raised the concern of doctors and of those in fields of medicine of how we can do to stem the tide of that which is claiming so many, many lives. I'm telling you that ignorance of the truth is a deadly thing. It is a deadly thing. In the book of Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the prophet of God said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Now, another way to say that in East Texas would be the people are destroyed because they're a bunch of dummies. Huh? They know nothing spiritually. And that's due to being a spiritual dummy. It's settling for anything that has a religious smack to it, and you don't really pursue to find out, is this truth what I'm hearing? People die every day from ignorance. John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus Christ made this statement to the woman by the well, "If thou knewest the gift of God..." She had come because she was thirsty and thought that she could draw from Jacob's well and that would quench her thirst. And the Lord said, if you just knew the truth, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, he would have given you living water. Hell is full of people if they only had known. Think about it. If they only had known, if they had only been preached to and taught and presented with the truth, if they had only known, but they did not die in knowing, they died in ignorance. And that's where they are. It's where lost people go. Little is the demand for this commodity. Not everybody's knocking the door down and climbing through the windows to get the truth today, ladies and gentlemen. In Matthew chapter number 27, verses 15 through 21, Matthew 27, verses 15 through 21, "Now at the feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And when they had a notable prisoner who was called Barabbas, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" It was customary for Pilate to release one charged with a crime at a certain time during the year. And at this particular time, there was a very wicked, seditious man by the name of Barabbas and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they had just brought in. And Pilate said, "Which one shall I release?" You know what they said? They said, "Set Barabbas free, but give us Christ that we can crucify." That's so dumb. The extent of insanity, spiritual insanity, is being able to look truth straight in the face and not recognize it. A poll many years ago, and I've shared this several times in our church, and I want to do it again because we have some folks that have not been with us very long. A certain poll was taken in concerning people and why do they go to certain churches. That's very interesting, isn't it? I'm not too much for polls anyway, but this one did cause me to raise my antenna. When people go to seek out a church, why do they go to the church they select? Why do they do that? Now, it's obvious they don't all go to the same one. Unless it's Joel Osteen's church. Everybody goes there. But apart from Joel, everybody has a particular church they're going to go to. Have you ever wondered, why is that so? What are they looking for? And that was the poll. I hope you're interested in this. One reason why people select a certain church is because of denomination. Well, I've always been a Baptist my whole life. I'm not going to a Methodist church. I'm not going to a Catholic church. I'm going to a Baptist church. And if it's got Baptist on it, that's going to be my selection. That's my number one judging criteria. Some people go to a church because of its affiliation. It's not enough for it to be Baptist. Is it Southern Baptist? Huh? Come on. Is it BMA? Is it just an old independent? Which Baptist church do people find themselves drawn to? Some people join a church because of prestige. It's the first church. Listen, I'm not being ugly. I've known some great preachers from First Baptist churches who love the Lord and who preach the Word of God. But I'm telling you, there's some people and they move from place to place. And the first thing they do is, where's the First Baptist church? They never ask what's being preached. Is it the First Baptist church? Some people go to church and join a certain church because of its proximity. It's close by. I don't have to waste a whole lot of gas going to church. Some people join a church and go to a certain church because of its program. It has ski trips. It has family centers. It has bowling teams. It has the latest pink lemonade society. And Mama's Day Out. Lady called me one day. She said, "You have Mama's Day Out?" I said, "No, because Mama needs to stay in." Guess who didn't join our church? Some join a church because of economic advantages. Oh, I can make some business contacts there. Kind of business I'm in, I want to be in a church where there are a whole lot of people that need my commodity. I can make a little money on the side by joining that church. You don't think people join churches that way? Sure they do. Because of personalities. Oh, our pastor, he's a great preacher. His name is Dr. Sounding Brass or Dr. Hornblower. And everybody wants to come. Oh, he's just the greatest preacher you've ever heard. But very few go to a church because of what the message is. What are we teaching? What are we about? By the truth. By the truth. The great need for this commodity. Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." It's the only thing I know that makes a man spiritually free is the truth. It's the truth. In 3 John 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Now, for those of you who've sat under my ministry for any length of time, there are going to be times of joy. There are going to be times of just emotional upheaval and wonderful, and this is great. But there are going to be times, "I wish he hadn't have said that." Today it is, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in sports." "I have no greater joy than to know that my children are involved in entertainment." And there's nothing wrong with sports. And there's nothing wrong with entertainment. But your greatest desire is to have your children walk in truth. One reason why some children have such a difficult time at school, especially in junior high and especially in high school, is because they've never been taught truth by their parents. And they're hearing all of these crazy, stupid ideas that are being promulgated in the classroom, and they walk out thoroughly confused. "I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth, not in politics, not in the Olympics, but in truth." Great is the availability of this commodity. The Bible says in 1 John 4, 5 through 6, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Wherever there is error, and that's everywhere, there is truth to be found. Because error is truth denied and twisted. Where can you find the truth? If you needed to go look for it today, where can you find the truth? You find it, number one, in the Son, S-O-N, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Even John the Baptist had this to say about Jesus Christ in John 3:34. He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. I believe that. That when Jesus Christ walked on this earth, his footprints were the footprints of God. Whatever Jesus Christ did was the work of God because he was God. And whatever he spoke was the truth of God. Always the truth of God. You find it in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You find it in salvation, 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man does not understand the things of God. They're spiritually discerned, neither can he know them. The natural man does not have an inclination for truth. He wants to be told something that he already thinks agrees with what he believes, and not what the truth is. And you find it in the Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. It's what makes this book the most unique book in all the world and still the most popular book in all the world is the Bible, the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And if that be so, that's where you're going to find truth. When Paul and Silas went through Thessalonica and the Bereans and some of those other places, when they preached, the Bible said the Bereans searched the Scriptures daily to see what was being taught as truth. I challenge this church, and I challenge you as members of this church, you listen to me not because of who I am and where I've been. You listen to me because I'm preaching truth. And the only way you can know that is not by necessarily what you hear. It's whether it agrees with the Word of God or not. In John 17:17, thy word is truth. In John 8:45-47, and because I tell you the truth, Christ said, you believe me not. Isn't that strange? And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Very quickly, there is a cost to be met. You need to buy it. Buy the truth. Buy the truth. The word here means to procure it for the purpose of owning it. You get the truth by acquiring it. It does not mean you wish to have the truth or desire to have the truth, but you make the truth your own. It belongs to you. It's yours. It's a personal thing. I have come to realize and embrace truth. I own truth. Truth owns me. Truth is not purchased with money. It matters not how little or how much money you have. You cannot buy money or truth with money. In Jeremiah 32:44, men shall buy fields for money. That's what you can buy with money. You can buy real estate. You can buy homes. You can buy cars. You can buy groceries. You can buy the many things that we find ourselves buying today. But you can't buy truth with money. Cannot do it. There's some things that money cannot buy, yet they need to be bought and acquired. What is the meaning here if it's not a purchase with money? Are you listening? Truth is a purchase with surrender. You cannot know truth apart from putting something up. Like I said to begin with this morning, whenever you buy something, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you, or else you wouldn't have to buy it. Buy the truth. It is a purchase of surrender. Take a moment to turn to Isaiah chapter 55, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter number 55, verses 1, 2, possibly, and 3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come you and buy. Underscore that. If you don't have any money, don't let it stop you. You come and buy anyway. Buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. He says in verse 6 and 7, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's yet near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the uprighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Truth is purchased with surrender. With surrender. Truth is a purchase without reservation. In Matthew 13, 44, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has to buy that field. How hungry are you today for truth? Must become a permanent desire and a preeminent desire of our heart and soul. We must be willing to part with what we have to acquire truth. In 1983, I was faced with the truth of the sovereignty of God. Quite frankly, I think, and this is my opinion, it is the most important doctrine in the Word of God. The sovereignty of God, that God does what God wants to do. Our God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. I had preached that before, but I had no concept of it whatsoever. I would preach a lie. I would preach a contradiction. I would say one thing, reading the scripture, and then give an invitation and say just the opposite. And something began to take place in my life and in the ministry that God had given me. For 17 years, I was a Southern Baptist. I pastored Southern Baptist churches, went to Southern Baptist schools. Then I became an independent and started going down that road, and we're independent in this church. But all of a sudden, I began to realize much of what I had preached wasn't so. It didn't line up with this book. And the day that God opened my eyes to see that he is a sovereign God and he has a right to do whatever he wants to, and God's people should rejoice in it, it changed my entire life. All of a sudden, the books I had in my library weren't good books anymore. I began to throw them away. And all the sermons I had preached began to throw them away. And all the friends I had began to throw them away. Huh? Because I was being invited time after time, week after week, revival meetings here, revival meetings there. All of a sudden, I wasn't popular anymore. Something was happening in my life that changed my whole concept of the ministry. That man is totally from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, dead in trespasses and in sins. And God Almighty must regenerate that man if he's ever to come to know Christ as Savior. And I'm telling you, folk aren't liking that today. They never have liked that. I bought the truth. But it cost me. I don't look at the cost at all. I compare it with what was gained as a result of it. The sovereignty of God. Truth is a purchase in its entirety. You don't buy truth by parts. The part you like, it's not like a cafeteria. I believe I'll take some of that and take some of it. No asparagus. I don't like asparagus. You see, some people accept Romans 1 through 8. Yeah, no problem with Romans 1 through 8. But they get bogged down on Romans 9, 10, and 11. What do you mean, Brother Cozart? I mean this. Men accept Romans 3, 23. You know what that says? All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. I believe that. Yes, sirree. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And move it up to Romans 6, 23. Wages of sin is death. Gift of God's eternal. Oh, I really believe that. Yes, sirree. What about Romans 10, 13? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. He's preaching heresy now. Huh? Same Bible. Same truth. You don't pick over it and say, well, I'll take this much truth, but I can't handle any more. Got to finish. Last point. There is a caution to be maintained. If you ever get hold of truth, don't sell it. Don't get rid of it. Sell it not by walking away from it. In John chapter number 6, verses 60 through 61, Jesus Christ looked at some of his disciples, not the apostles, but some of his disciples, and he spoke such strong language. It was truth. They said, we don't have to put up with this. We'll go somewhere else. And Christ said to his disciples, will you also go away because of what I preached? Never walk away from anything that's based on this book. If the Bible teaches it, stick with it. Don't sell it. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Esau came in. Jacob was a mama's boy. He helped around the table, helped doing the cooking. He made a pot of soup. And Esau said, who in the world cares anything about a birthright? I'll give you my birthright. You give me a bowl of soup. Well, the soup was gone in 30 seconds. But he sold his birthright for it. Demas sold his soul for this present evil world. He told Paul, I can't go with you any further because the world is so attractive. And he chose the world over truth. Judas Iscariot sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. Truth personified turned him over for 30 grimy pieces of silver. Don't sell it by walking away from it. And don't sell it by resisting it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. I want to tell you something. I hope you'll respond in the right way here. And I tell you to illustrate this point. Early on in my ministry, I'd heard so much about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and about speaking in tongues and about the anointing that comes on an individual when the Holy Spirit comes into his life. And I was so desperate. This goes back many, many, many years ago. I was so desperate. One morning I came into my study and I laid down on the floor as flat as I could lay, stretched my hands out, stretched my legs out as flat as I could lay. And I said, "Dear God, if this is real, I want to know. I don't care what people think of me, if I speak in tongues or whatever it might be. I don't care what they think. If it's truth, I don't want to go through the rest of my ministry without it." And God spoke peace to my heart. And I began to read in the Scripture, and God showed me truth about those things. Brother, we don't speak in an unknown tongue. We don't do that. It's not the evidence of the Holy Spirit. The evidence of the Holy Spirit is witnessing the Word of God in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But I'm saying, I wanted truth. I don't care what it costs, dear Lord. Show me truth. And I stand before you today, knowing so little of it, but I want to know more of it. And whenever I read the Bible, and whenever the Bible is clear in what it says, I make no apology for it. And I don't want you to make an apology for it either. And I want you to be in this church because you want truth. You're hungry for truth. You want to know the truth. Whatever it takes to get the truth, we better get after it. May cost us surrender. May cost us separation. May lose respect. Where's Ann? Ann and I have a common friend that said, he was my friend. He is now today my friend, but he broke friendship with me because he said, "Dan Cozart has a devil." Because I begin preaching truth. Preaching truth. So, our text, buy the truth. Don't get rid of it. You buy the truth. You stand by it. Regardless of what it costs, you stand by it. And thank God for the revelation that comes through the Holy Spirit. As we study the book and read it and believe it means what it says, we begin to learn some things that may be different from the way we were brought up. Let's stand, please, for prayer.